Bridget and I are delighted to be back, and it's a privilege and an honor to stand in this pulpit and that Pastor Dave normally is in, and that Wally and Ted minister from. It's a privilege, and it truly is a privilege to be in your beautiful, beautiful church. And it's an honor. I'm glad that Dave gave us the opportunity to come and be with you folks. It's wonderful. We're going to be looking into Matthew 28 this morning, is where I'm going to put into. Before I read that, though, I would like to give some background or some ideas about how I got to that 28th chapter. And I guess if there's a title to what I'm talking about this morning, it would be, how do we see and evaluate the current circumstances in our world? How do you and I think about our government leaders, about the world leaders? How do you and I think about Hollywood and people in the entertainment industry? How do we think about people who differ from us in our politics, who differ from us in our values? I think it's in talking with people in different places, I think it's really imperative that you and I make a decision on how we're going to think and talk and act towards people who are different than where we're coming from. Maybe people who are different from our scriptural standpoint, our scriptural values. And so this morning I'd like to put in, as I say it, Matthew chapter 28, but I will get to that in a moment. I have many people tell me they simply cannot watch the news anymore. It's too overwhelming with everything that's going on right now. And I bet you that, I know I'm that way, and I bet you there are some others here this morning that are that way right now. You and I never expected things to unravel like they've unraveled, but it has happened. Man's spiritual conditions is darkened right now, isn't it? And as a writer has stated, because of this darkened condition, man's mind has become foolish and alienated from truth itself. And you and I could watch the news or talk to our neighbor and see this going on. And here's my concern. If you and I are not careful, we can lose our focus, and we can get caught up in the circumstances of this world. And we can begin seeing things only from this horizontal view, as I see it right here, on this man level. And then we can begin to react to everything that's going on from a fleshly, earthly standpoint and develop harsh feelings, intense dislike of people who are representing all that is seen as going against the values and priorities that we have and we have had in the country and so forth. And Jesus, and I saw that, you know, Jesus and John the Baptist, Jesus in Gethsemane, he had to fight from this view of all the torture that was coming up, and he had to see things from God's standpoint. John the Baptist, in the chapter we just read from this morning, Matthew 11, John the Baptist was in the dungeon, and he was caught up in this view, and he had to send his disciples to Jesus in order to be able to see everything from the heavenly perspective. Paul was in prison. He had to fight to not just see things from this level. He had to see things, Lord, how is it you see things? Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the battle is. But if we stay here, we'll make it flesh and blood. We have to realize there's something else. So how do we frame up or view everything that's happening? What do we do with that? Because you and I are believers. People are looking to us. They know that we're here at Baptist Church in Linton. They know that we sing praises. What do we do? Well, there's an axiom in counseling that says, circumstances do not make me the way I am, but reveal the way I am. And I believe that axiom reflects a spiritual truth. If circumstances define me and my attitudes and my moods, then that means that I'm helpless and that I have no control over how I will handle adversity or even joy. It means that I'm at the whim of what happens to me and what I'm facing in terms of my attitude toward life. I would emotionally and spiritually just be along for the ride, so to speak. And that's not good news. That's not good news at all. The good news of the gospel is that you and I have the blessing of being followers of Christ, and we're not at the whim of our circumstances. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can choose how we will view and respond to our world right now. The kingdom of God empowers us to see all things through the lens of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his purposes, his wisdom. Hallelujah. If God's in control, then nothing is happening that is outside his knowledge. And then we have hope. And Ted just taught us about hope and read that passage. You and I have hope if God's in control. We don't have to fret about being defeated. But are you like me? Do you ever have days you say, God, are you losing this battle? Are other things whooping you? It seems like the world of politics and entertainment and this progressive ethics that we're seeing about, and we don't know what a woman or a man or whatever is and all that, those things seem like they're ruling everything right now. And God seems to be relegated to the back of the bus. Well, his disciples had that same thought, didn't they? They gave him 3 years of their lives, and they thought he was going to come and whoop the Roman Empire and everything else. And John the Baptist did too. He said the Messiah is coming to put an axe to the Roman Empire. Instead, he didn't do it that way. And instead, Jesus was killed. Now the disciples are going, our world's gone crazy. We've given up everything. We've been with this guy for 3 years, and now he's dead. The circumstantial view said it's all you last 3 years, disciples, you wasted it. But Jesus showed the disciples and you and me through his resurrection appearances, he taught you and me how to keep our eyes on him and a way to help us not get caught up in the circumstances, but see everything from his viewpoint. It's just one lesson from Scripture. Scripture is so stinking practical. And this is one of those practical places. One day when I was really wondering about what's going on here, God, I came across the words of Dennis Kinlaw in his wonderful book called This Day with the Master. And his words really helped me and helped me get my mind where it needed to be. As Dennis studied the appearance of Jesus after the resurrection, Dennis came to the conclusion that Jesus did not fret over the government or the people in control. Jesus evidently was not concerned about the people in power and in control. He was not concerned about the artists of the Roman days, because after his resurrection, he did not appear to any of the religious leaders or the government leaders. Jesus never showed up to any of them. What Dr. Kinlaw is saying is that Jesus knew that those who would be the movers and shakers of this world for the next 2,000 years would not be Pontius Pilate and Herod or the Sanhedrin. He knew that those who would change the world would be his followers, his disciples, Paul, and the hundreds of followers who were there with him. Jesus knew that earthly government and other cultural influences, they're only temporary, but that his kingdom is what would last. Dr. Kinlaw's words continue on. I'm quoting him. "Sometimes I wish I could have been in charge of planning Jesus' post-resurrection visits, although I fear that I would have gone about it differently from the way the Father planned it." And Dennis goes on to say that he said, "I would have taken Jesus to see Pontius Pilate. I would have taken him before the Sanhedrin, and I would have watched their mouths drop, and I would have said, 'Here's Jesus,' and watched him go." Maybe he might have gone nana nana boo boo too, I don't know. But he said, "I would have taken them there. I would have taken them to see Pilate. And I would have been able to hear Pilate's wife say, 'See, I told you so. Don't kill him.'" Jesus never paid attention to those people we just mentioned, the Sanhedrin, Pontius Pilate, Herod. Nah, he never showed himself to them. It's like they were inconsequential. He appeared to who you and I would call the weakest part of the culture at that time, because those who were the weakest part of the culture was where the power of God was going to be. The future is never in control of the world system of power. Well, COVID proved that, didn't it? Now, I'm not saying that you and I aren't affected on a daily basis by the world centers and powers of influence. That would be naive if I stood up here and said that. But what I'm saying it is that our peace, your peace and my peace, is based on the kingdom that is great and eternal. You and I have living within us the most powerful kingdom in this entire created universe. Now, when I start to fret, when I start to really get mad, when I start losing my center, if you will, I have to stop and say, okay, I'm fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. I am serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I have to view all circumstances from the kingdom perspective. That's what Jesus thought was important. And then when I do that, I'm going to grow. I'm going to mature. I'm going to learn faith, because there are so many times, as you and I know, as you live life, there are so many things that you and I have no control over, and we have to let them go. And we literally have to say, "Lord, you're in charge." Jesus, who knows the beginning from the end, he showed us what was important by who he appeared to after the resurrection. Now we're going to get into those appearances. The appearances form the foundation on which the gospel is taken to the world's followers. So here we go. Let's look at first at what happened at the tomb and then some of the sightings. And we're going to go over to Matthew 28. We're going to start there in verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. So we see here the stone was rolled back, the soldiers were made helpless. That's God's power anytime and every time. They could not keep the risen Jesus in or keep the first witnesses out. The stone was rolled away not for Jesus' sake, but for those of us who could look in. That's why the stone was rolled away, so that we can look in. Jesus didn't need to have that removed so he could get out. Jesus passed through the rock. With this resurrection power, the earthquake, the angel tells us just what we ought to expect. And the guards were symbolizing here the political military powers, because they're struck down. They're passed out. Then he appears to Mary Magdalene. I'm going over now to Mark 16. I'm going to come back to 28. There are a couple of different accounts about the tomb. But over in Mark 16, verse 9, when Jesus arose on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. And Mark 16 says, she went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. She went to the disciples. Who did he appear to first? Not the strong leaders. Not to the disciples. Peter and all of them are over there shaking and hiding in a room. Who did he go to? Women. Women are the most unlikely people he could have gone to. In that culture, the ones who were considered insignificant and untrustworthy, who are given the ultimate trust, who are the first to see and hear and touch the risen Christ, are women. Now I'm back over to Matthew 28. I'm sorry for jumping around like that. I'm back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. And they say to Mary, he's not here, he's risen, just as he said. Come on over and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you'll see him. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to the disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee and they'll see me. The women, not powerful, not influential, not Herod, not Pilate, not the Sanhedrin, women were the first to see him. They were his followers, and that's where the power is. If the writers of the Bible wanted to impress the culture at that time, they would have not included in here that women were the first ones to see Jesus. They would have left that out, because in that culture, that did not impress the men. They would have said the men saw him first. But you see what the Bible did? Then Jesus appeared to Simon Peter, the disciples on the Emmaus Road, the rest of the disciples several times at different places, including when they were fishing. Jesus appeared to his brother James, to 500, to Paul, and then that wonderful day of ascension, when so many watched him go up. He did so many appearances. The sightings, as I said before, never paid attention to the powers of the Roman Empire or of the religious leaders. He went to people who were followers. He never concerned himself with impressing the leaders. He knew who would be shaping and shaking the world for the next 2,000 years. It's you and me. So we don't want to be as those people who have no hope, who are causing those people who in our culture who are causing chaos and unrest. We don't want to be them. We don't want to be a part of the problem by the way that we react to what's going on our culture. You and I have a hope that nobody else has. If we're not followers of Christ, and his resurrection appearances show it, he said, don't worry about all that. Be concerned about how you're representing me. Be concerned that you're doing things according not to this horizontal view, but according to my kingdom view. Someone asked me once, should we get involved in politics? Well, of course we should. But it's not the idol. It's not the cure-all. One of our good friends is a state senator. He lives right next door to us. And sure, we got people in politics. We have two good friends who are profound Christian followers, and they're in the state senate and state legislature. And we have another friend who works in government, and he meets with senators and everybody else. And that's part of his ministry, what he's doing. Of course we have to be involved. We want to be in there. But our trust is not in the political candidates. Our hatred does not go to Pelosi and Schumer and everybody else that we can come up with, if that's who you're aiming at. No. You and I, we have to rise in our view and remember that our future and our hope is in Christ. The Bible says in Romans 14, as surely as I live, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will confess. That's who's ultimately in power. 1 Timothy 6 says, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now, you and I don't know how everything's going to play out, so we'll have to fight our battles. And it is a battle. It's a war. To keep our perspective on him. It's not easy. We have to fight for that. But it's the fight that we want to fight. We don't want to fight things on this level. Jesus didn't want to. Paul didn't want to. And we should not. His power, his might, his mind comes as we seek him. We seek God himself. We don't know how it's going to play out, and I think we have rough days ahead of us. I really do. I think we have some times coming ahead because we live in an age when evil is called good and good is called evil, and people who believe in the Bible were considered enemies. I don't think this is, we got some rough times ahead. But what we do know is ultimately where is the power? No one can know what's going on but God himself. Therefore, we do as he did. We focus, we trust him. And I believe with all my heart, there has never been a time more important for us to study scripture and develop the discipline of daily prayer than it is right now. If there was ever a time to be a seeker of God, now is it. If there was ever a time to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it's now. Not all things work out as we think they should go. Therefore, it's important to know intimately the character of God, understand his word, and this seeking leads to learning, and learning leads to knowledge, and knowledge leads to faith, and faith leads to maturity, and maturity leads to an understanding of God. This life is not the end. You and I are going to be raised from the dead one day. This life is not all it is. Oh my. When I talk with people in the counseling room, or I talk with them in various places, I see so much anger, so much hatred coming from people who walk with Christ, and that's not it. That's not it. That's not where the power is. The power is in Him. And doesn't mean we don't get upset with what's going on. I'm not saying all that. I mean, we're not robots. But we can't stay there. I have seen people who have been literally eaten up with anger and bitterness and hatred. I mean, just ugly. And yet they'll come to church and they'll stand, they'll sing to God, not here this morning. I don't mean this. Don't take it for here. But they'll go to church and they'll say all the right things, do all the right things, and all of that. And on the inside, they got this anger and hatred that's harbored toward people who are not following what God would have us do in the politics and the entertainment, the sports world, and all of that. No, you and I are called to a much higher calling. And the resurrection appearances tell us what God had in mind. And He tells us, here's where the power is. Here's where the truth is. Here's where life is. It's here. It's not down here. It's up here. My followers, my church, it's not in the government. That's not going to rescue you. I am the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I am the one who rules and reigns. I am the one who created. I am the one who put together all things. He who is God alone, the God from whom all things come, by whom all things are sustained, to whom all things must inescapably go. This God who revealed Himself to Israel, whose words are revealed in the Old Testament, this God who revealed Himself completely and totally in the person of Jesus Christ, whose words are in the New Testament, this God whose Son ascended, and the Holy Spirit who came so that His very presence is in you and in us and through us throughout this creation. This God who is Creator, Redeemer, and the soon coming King. That's our focus. Would you pray with me? Lord, we see Your greatness and our own inadequacy. So, Lord, we're about to sing a song that says, He hideth my soul. Lord, hide our souls. Purge us, cleanse us, so that we are wholly Yours. Holy Spirit, shape our lives so they conform to our Master's design. Keep us Yours completely. Purify our hearts. Give us faithfulness and fruitfulness. Make us the witness You want the world to see. Father, we say to You, we open ourselves up and we say, reign in our hearts. Change our natures. Subdue us. Capture us from this world and its corruptions. Come and capture us and keep our eyes focused on You and the values of Your kingdom that Jesus demonstrated when He appeared only to His followers. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.